The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right. Good morning, guys. And this time, it actually is still morning, so look at that. It actually made sense this time. Now, I know Manny had to scoot out, so he just walked out the door. But anyway, if he goes back and listens to this, Manny, yeah, thank you for the worship. Good, really good stuff. I appreciate him. He was another pinch hitter, came in the last minute and did a great job. Always a great job. So good stuff. All right, you guys. Well, I hope you've been praying for Jerry. This is his second Sunday that he's been out sick. And I know he's watching online right now, but so we're hope you're feeling better, Jerry. But so Jerry's message in our series was supposed to fall last week, and so then we were planning on it this week, and so it got bumped again to, so now his message is going to be next week, hopefully. That's the plan anyway. But you know how the Lord works things out? You have a series planned out, and you're like, oh yeah, this would be great to go here, this would be great to go here. I really feel like God has kind of led us through a progression as we've been talking about these areas in our lives where God is saying, hey, let me take over. You sit back, you take a break from trying to control these things or allowing these things to control you. And so it's been cool to see how, as we've kind of made our way through this series, that it seems like God has kind of done that seamlessly, even though we've had to rearrange our weeks that we've been discussing these topics. So today, yes, the scenic route, that's what we're talking about today. And the vacation this weekend is vacation from doubt. So, you're right. vacation from doubt. Sometimes we have to recognize that, here's something cool about this topic. We actually did, if you've been with us on our midweek Bible study, we did an entire series on doubt. Do you remember that? Just on how, you know, God's not afraid of our questions and on how, you know, doubt is just like this part of our journey. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how doubt really does kind of take us on that scenic route. You know, when you're driving, we usually choose the fastest route. Okay, we'll go on GPS and we'll find the route that gets us from point A to point B the quickest. But when you're on vacation, I don't know about you guys, this is speaking for the Vick family. When we're on vacation, we often choose the scenic route because the journey itself becomes part of the experience, right? It becomes part of the vacation. And as we have this conversation about doubt, we need to understand that doubt is a part of the journey. If you have a steady faith in God where doubt never creeps in, you're probably not growing in your faith. There's probably not points in your faith where you're growing stronger, where your faith is being tested, and where you're actually making progress in becoming more like Jesus. Does that make sense? Because here's the thing we need to realize, you guys. God isn't just interested in getting us to the destination. He's interested in who we become along the journey. So if God wanted you just to arrive at the destination, guess what? Right when you accept Jesus as your Savior, right when you confess your sins to Him, He would just take you to heaven. He would just be like, okay, you're done, you're mine, let's go. But that's not the case. God wants us to stay here, and He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to share our faith with others. He wants us to love others the way He loves. We've got a job here, and so the destination is just the place that we're all going to arrive at, but the journey is really what's important. And who we become along the way. So spiritually, many times God takes us on this scenic route. There are stretches of the road that we don't understand why He's leading us this way. Sometimes the road gets winding. Sometimes we lose cell service, right? Sometimes we can't see around the next bend. But that's where doubts can creep in. Doubts start to creep in when we can't really see clearly where we're going. But God's not lost. Even when we feel like we are, God is not lost. So I mentioned the Vic family vacation. When the Vicks go on vacation, I'm just going to come out and say, my wife is like the queen of the scenic route. She actually plans our vacations based on all the places and things that we can see along the way. And so when she plans a road trip for us, we already know it's going to be all about getting there. And by the time we get there, we're going to feel like we've really had a great experience. And sometimes the experience is so intense, like we have to get to the next enjoyable moment that we're like rushing through one moment. We're like, okay, we can only spend a little bit of time here because there's more stops along the way. But that's what makes our vacation so much fun, is that we just continue to travel on that scenic route. It takes a little bit longer, right? But it's filled with amazing detours. There's stop-offs to visit. There's hidden treasures that we discover along the way to our destination. We stop at overlooks, small towns that we never would have probably been in otherwise. We're driving through towering pines. We're discovering waterfalls, unexpected beauty around each corner. These are all things we never would have seen from the highway. We capture all these on photos, you know, they end up, you know, in our memories and on Facebook or something. It always takes a little bit longer to get to your destination when you take the scenic route. But the truth is, the scenic route often becomes the most memorable part of our trip. The thing that we remember the most is the scenic route. And by the time we reach the destination, we realize that something's happened. We've actually a little bit different by the time we arrive. This is true for us. We discover that the journey itself becomes life-giving if we're following God's direction and we're allowing him to take us into places that we didn't expect that we would go. Again, it shapes us into who he wants us to be. And this, when it comes to doubts, this is something that we need to recognize. Doubts are gonna happen along the way. The doubts that seem to challenge us along the journey can actually enhance our faith. So God can use those moments of doubting to make your faith stronger. And I would say that there's some places your faith will never grow unless you go through these moments of doubting. Okay, you guys remember our theme verse? We're in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites us in to rest. Yes, even from our doubts. That's another place that God wants us to take a break from. But that's because we are undoubtedly going to experience those doubts as part of our journey. Okay, so the passage I want to look at today, the disciple that we're going to talk about, he's most remembered for doubt. And I know he's not an unfamiliar face to us because we've talked about him before. But even though he's known for being the one that doubts, he also is known for making one of the greatest declarations of faith in all of Scripture, I believe. He says this, he says, my Lord and my God. When he's presented with the truth of who Jesus is, Jesus truly is, he announces it with all of his heart. And so here's this guy who's known for doubting, and yet he makes this incredible declaration of faith, and that's what we're going to find in our story today. So we're in John 20, verses 24 through 29. So let me read it for you guys, and then we'll pray. We'll jump into this. This is right after Jesus' resurrection, and he started appearing to his disciples. Not all at once, but he starts appearing to different disciples and groups of people. And it says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, obviously Thomas had a brother, he was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. That's pretty intense, right? He's like, I'm not going to believe it until I actually, and he wasn't just going to be satisfied with seeing Jesus. He wanted to like walk up to him and be like, okay, show me your hands. I want to see the holes. Okay, make sure those are real. This is not, you know, costume makeup. You know, let me poke him in the side just to make sure there's a hole there too. You know, Thomas is like, I don't know if he was really wanting to do that to Jesus, or if he was just real adamant to express to his fellow brothers that, you know, I'm going to need some definite proof. But whatever it was, Thomas is like, yeah, I need to see it to believe it. And then in verse 29, when Jesus actually appears to Thomas, or 27, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And then here's his statement. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. So Father, we ask that as we dive into this passage today and as we dive into to what you would have us learn and have us take home with this, God, I pray that you would help us, first of all, to understand that doubt is a part of our faith journey. Help us to know that so that when we come across moments of doubt, we don't feel overwhelmed, we don't feel discouraged, we don't feel unworthy because we're having these thoughts or we're having these experiences. God, help us to recognize that because of these doubts, we can actually become stronger in our faith. Show us that today, Father, as we look at this passage and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this conversation between Thomas and Jesus illustrates this first point perfectly. Doubt shows up when we can't see what God's doing. Doubt shows up when we can't see what God's doing. Thomas hadn't actually physically seen Jesus yet, even though the others had. And so doubt creeped into his mind. He starts thinking, you know, did this really happen? I need to see it to believe it. Doubt entered. He wasn't present when Jesus first appeared. He missed that moment. He wasn't rejecting Christ. He just wasn't there when everybody else experienced seeing Jesus. And so he's like, you know, I'm going to need to see it for myself. He simply couldn't believe what he hadn't experienced. How many of us feel the same way at times? You're like, I need to experience that for myself in order for me to really be invested in that idea. Have you felt that way before? Somebody else has an amazing experience with God and you're like, you know what? I haven't had that same experience. I haven't had that same encounter with God, and so I don't know. I'm on the fence with that one. I want to believe. I'm just struggling here, right? Maybe you've said that. But doubt isn't supposed to be the end of our faith journey. We're not supposed to arrive at a moment of doubting and it's supposed to be a dead end. That's not how it works. When we bring it to Jesus, it becomes something that deepens our faith. So we bring our doubts to Jesus, we bring our questions to him, and we're like, God, what do I do with this? And all of a sudden, we've taken a doubt into something that's actually going to strengthen and deepen our faith. That's what Solomon's saying in Proverbs 3:5. He says, trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. It's so tempting to just depend on what we know, what we've seen, and what we've experienced. But then it wouldn't be faith, would it? It would just be experiences. Faith is those things that we have not experienced yet. It's putting our trust, it's investing everything into something that we haven't seen materialize yet, but we've seen the faithful track record leading up to it. We may have had some experience that have already given us some evidence, but maybe there's a lot of things out there that we haven't seen yet and we haven't experienced yet, and we have to trust that God's going to come through. We can't depend on our own knowledge and our own experiences. Imagine trying to go through life that way. Like anything you ever try, you're not reading any instruction manual. You're not looking at any kind of diagram. You're not asking directions. You're not pulling up GPS. I mean, literally, how far would you get without consulting somebody or something for direction in life? That's why Solomon is telling us in this verse, like lean on God's understanding. Pay attention to God, because he's the one that's going to tell you what to do. And look, there are stretches of the road where trusting Jesus, trusting his direction, matters more than understanding it. Does that make sense? There's going to be stretches of the road where trusting him is going to matter more than understanding what's going on. That's the thing that's going to happen to us along in our journey. Psalms 119, 105. I know you've heard this verse before. says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now notice something. God doesn't promise stadium lighting. He's not like, okay, I'm going to light up the entire world. I'm going to give you the entire map. I'm going to download everything for you. You're going to see everything and experience everything all at once. No, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet. In other words, I can see the path right in front of me because of what your word is supplying for me. He promises enough light for the next step. That's what he's saying. And on winding roads, that's enough. You only need to see up to that next curve. when we went to buy our family car back in, what was it, 2019, when we bought our Chevy Traverse, we had looked at the car, we test drove it, we're like, oh yeah, we love this car, you know, this is going to work for us, plenty of space for the family. We, you know, can imagine ourselves taking trips in this car. And so we get the car, and I notice it has like the place for fog lamps on the car, but there's no fog lamps there. You know, it's like the little spot where a fog lamp should be. And I'm like, what's up with this? You know, I'm asking the guy who's trying to sell me the car. I'm like, there's no fog lamps. He's like, oh, yeah, that model doesn't have fog lamps. And I'm like, really? Is it an upgrade now to have a safety feature on a car? Okay, whatever. I'm like, well, what's the next upgrade? And so he's like, yeah, for a little more money, you'll be a little safer on the road. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, we're going to need fog lamps. I've never had a car without fog lamps. So, you know, we want to be able to see the road when we're driving from here to San Diego and it's foggy. So we get the next model up, right, the whatever it is. I don't even know what other improvements it was. But here's the tricky thing about it. This original car we were looking at had, like, the remote start, and it had, like, the automatic hatch, you know, that opens up. And so we're like, oh, yeah, we like these other features, but we don't have the fog lamps. So let's go up to the next level. Apparently, you can go up to the next level and get the fog lamps, but you don't get the remote start and the hatch. You know, you got to go up another level. Now you got everything, safety and luxury. We didn't go that far. So, but we did get the fog lamps. And here's the thing about the fog lamps. I actually really enjoy this feature so much. Have you ever driven in dense fog into the mountains, windy road, right? You can't see miles ahead. Matter of fact, you can't even see like the head or the taillights of the car in front of you at times. But you know what you can see? You can see that line on the side of the road, and you can see this other line, and you can see, you know, several feet. Maybe it's only 10, 15 feet in front of you. You see enough to kind of keep creeping along. And that's what it's like in our lives at times. That's the kind of faith that we have. We have this kind of faith where God is showing us exactly what we need to see in order to get to that next space in the road, to just get a little further down the road. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, when we cannot trace God's hand, we must trust his heart. See what he's saying? He's like, we can't see what God's doing with his hands, right? We can't follow, you know, what God is moving and what he's doing, but we can trust God's heart. You've heard the expression, trust the process. Right, I hate it on Instagram when you're watching something and it, you know, it's like they're doing something and it starts out kind of weird and funky and you're like, what are they doing? And you know, they're doing it on purpose. It's rage bait, right? They're doing an art project, but they start in some obscure spot where you cannot tell what they're doing. And then by the time they're done, they've created, you know, this cool masterpiece or whatever, and you've wasted, you know, 5 minutes of your time. But all the comments are like, trust the process, you know, trust the process. Well, how about this? Trust God's process. Trust God. You're going to trust the process on Instagram, but you're not going to trust God's process. You see the logic here? Like, we'll stay with the real. Okay, you got me. I'll stay a little longer, see how this turns out. But when it comes to our faith, we're like, you know what, God? I can't see what you're doing. Yeah, see you later, God. I can't do this, right? Or we get paralyzed. We're like, oh, no, I don't know what to do now because I can't see the road in front of me. And God is literally saying, you got the fog lamps on, okay? You can see enough to get a little further down the road. That's all that you need. But here's another thing we need to understand about God's process. We need to recognize that Jesus welcomes honest doubts. Jesus welcomes honest doubts. Look at our story and see how this plays out. In verse 27, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer, believe. What is Jesus doing here? He doesn't reprimand Thomas. He's not like, Thomas, come here, buddy. I heard what you were saying. Dude, I'm disappointed. You know, come on, why can't you be more like John? You know, he doesn't say that. No, he says to him, Thomas, come here. Come here, buddy. Feel my hand. Look, see the hole? Put your hand there. Like, you know, check out the side. You know, he's actually leaning into Thomas's doubt. The very thing that Thomas is like, I need to do that in order to believe. Jesus is like, yeah, Thomas, come here. I'm going to give you all those things. I'm going to show you those things. Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus do that? He doesn't shame Thomas. He doesn't lecture him. He doesn't push him away. Instead, Jesus comes directly to him and he answers his questions. He meets Thomas right at the place where he struggles. The same is true for us, my friends. Jesus is going to meet you right there in your doubt, right where you're at. He's not afraid of your questions. Jesus is not threatened by our sincere questions. You have questions for God? Ask him. You're wondering what God's up to, what God's doing? Ask him what he's up to. Ask him what he's doing. Say, God, this doesn't make sense to me, God. Show me, tell me what's going on. Talk to someone who knows a little more about Jesus than you. Someone who's been further down the road of faith than you have. Go to them and say, hey, I got questions. I'm experiencing doubts. Don't just keep that in. What if Thomas wouldn't have said anything at all? What if the guys would have been like, hey, Thomas, we saw Jesus. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And then the next time Jesus shows up in the upper room, Thomas isn't there, right? Why? Because he gave up. He's like, you know, Jesus welcomes our questions. One of the most honest prayers in all of Scripture is found in Mark 9:24. We actually talked a lot about this in our series on doubt on Tuesday nights. A desperate father brings his afflicted son to Jesus for healing. And when Jesus tells him, all things are possible for him who believes, what does the guy say? He's in tears and he says, I believe, help my unbelief. What is he actually saying here? The father is not pretending to have flawless faith. He's not pretending to have everything together, right? Instead, he's honestly admitting his limitations. He's like, I've got doubts. He's saying, I have belief, but I also have lingering doubts. He's like, is it okay to have both of these things? I mean, he's really asking Jesus, like, he's just being completely honest. He could have just been like, Lord, thank you, I believe. But he's in tears coming to God and saying, you know what? You just said, if I believe, it's possible. And I'm going to just tell you this. Pretty sure I believe, but also I got some doubts. I have some doubts. Genuine belief and lingering doubts. Does that describe what you go through a lot of the times in your faith? It does for me. Genuine faith. I genuinely believe that God is who he said he is. I genuinely trust that Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins. And I genuinely believe that I have a relationship with him. But I got a lot of doubts about a lot of other stuff. Sometimes I doubt God's love for me. Sometimes I doubt if God's really going to be faithful in this particular area, even though he showed up in every other area of my life. Sometimes I have questions and I'm like, God, you know, I don't know what you're doing. The money's not coming in to the organization and I can't pay my staff. Like, what's happening, God? What are you doing? Are you really faithful? Or, you know, or is this just something that we talk about and it's really not a thing that you're doing for me? I have lingering doubts at times. But this dad, when he's face to face with Jesus, he's not saying it's an all in one deal, right? It's all or nothing. All faith, no doubt, or nothing, right? No. It's a journey where we can bring our frail, imperfect belief to God and ask him to strengthen it. Bring your imperfect faith to God, lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, this is where I need help. Can you help me here? And you know the story. Jesus doesn't condemn the man for his doubt. Instead of focusing on the father's imperfections, Jesus honors his honest plea and immediately heals his son. I'm pretty sure that you and I have both had this kind of teacher, the kind who welcomes questions and the kind who discourages questions. You had both of those teachers growing up, right? Or maybe you have those teachers right now, right? You've got a teacher who's like, I got a question, and they're like, okay, what's your question? And you got the other teacher where you're like, I got a question, and they're like, no questions, or, you know, save it for later, or put your question in your pocket, right? Whatever, you know, I've had both of those teachers, and the one that I learned the most from is the teacher that answered my question, is the teacher that took the time to actually hear what I had to say. It's because a good teacher welcomes questions because questions reveal a desire to learn. And on the other side, an insecure teacher feels threatened by questions because they're like, maybe they're going to ask something that's not in the book, right? Maybe they're going to ask me something that's outside of what I know, or maybe I just don't want to waste time. I don't actually care if this kid learns. I just want to get through the lesson. Here's the thing you guys need to understand. Jesus is a good teacher. He invites our questions. He welcomes our doubts. He invites our questions. You raise your hand, Jesus is going to be like, yeah, you. What's, give it to me. Or he's going to say, Thomas, come really close. Get a really close look at the textbook here. Jesus understands our doubts. He knows that they are a part of our journey. Faith isn't the absence of questions. It's confidence in the character of God. We put all our trust in him as our teacher, and we ask our questions. Let's be honest, my friends. Without doubts, many of us wouldn't dig deeper in our faith. Without those doubts, without those questions, you probably wouldn't go that extra step deeper with Jesus. It's like Oz Guinness said, doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is one element of faith. When you think of doubt as just being a part of our faith, it's going to be a lot easier when you run into those. It's no longer going to be like running into an obstacle or a dead end. It's going to be like, okay, I expected that. I knew that was coming. I don't really want to go through it. I don't really want to experience this doubting right now, but I did know it was coming. It's part of the faith journey. Brings us to our next point, which is our faith grows through our response to Jesus. How we respond when Jesus answers our doubts. What happens in our story here in verse 28? My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Notice Thomas's response. He doesn't simply accept information. Thomas doesn't say, you know what? Yeah, those are real scars. Yeah, that's, you know, okay, flip your hand over. You know, Thomas isn't like, you know, investigating and he's not surrendering to the information Jesus just presented to him. He's allowing the question to be answered. And he's like, you know what? You are God. You are the God that you say you are. He surrendered to a person, not to facts and not to information. Faith is more than believing facts. Faith is entrusting yourself to Jesus. It's surrendering your thoughts and your mind to Jesus. Those emotions, those questions, bringing that all to Jesus. Every time we trust Jesus through a moment of doubt, our faith is strengthened. Every circumstance that brings us to a crossroads of faith and doubt makes our faith stronger, depending on how we respond to our Savior. If we respond with obedience to what we know to be true about God, our faith grows. If we just consider it a dead end, guess what? Our faith begins to shrink. And so faith grows one step of obedience at a time. One step of obedience. And when God shows you that next step to take on the road and you take that step, guess what happens? Your faith is strengthened. Your trust in God is deepened. That's why we're told in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. That's where we get our faith, from hearing God's voice, from hearing what God's saying, from hearing the words that God has given us. Our faith not only has a starting point in God's word, but it has a continuous strengthening by hearing and acting on what Jesus is telling us. Think about a friendship, a long-time friendship, someone that you've known for many years and you have this incredible trust with. Trust doesn't develop because someone answered all of your questions and gave you all the information you were looking for at one time, right? It's not like you meet somebody and they're like, okay, here's my entire life story there. Are we best friends? No, what happens? Trust is developed through shared experiences, through time spent with another person. The longer you walk with someone who proves faithful, the easier it becomes to trust them. They show up day after day. They show up in your life in the moments that you need them the most. It becomes easier to trust them next time. That's how friendships develop. The thing is, the more we know about God's character, the more confidently we trust him. When we don't understand God's ways, then we don't trust him as much. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Get to know the one who's leading you. Strengthen your friendship with Jesus. Go deeper with your Savior. Spend more time with God. And then you know what? You're going to trust him. The doubt's going to come and you're going to be like, oh man, I was expecting that, but God, I have questions now. And you're going to go to the one who has proven faithful over and over again. And it's going to be completely different. You're not going to feel like you're all alone. All of a sudden, you're going to recognize, oh God, you've been walking with me through this all along. And that brings us to our last point, which is don't let doubt end the journey. And don't let doubt be the end. When you come across a major doubt, don't just say to yourself, you know what? Maybe it's all just a bunch of garbage. Maybe I should try something else. Jesus ends his conversation with Thomas like this. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You know what? This is really cool because Jesus is speaking to Thomas. He's saying this to Thomas, but he's actually speaking to us. Are you getting what I'm saying here? He wasn't trying to make Thomas feel like he wasn't very special, like, you know, oh, Thomas, you know, you have to see to believe. That wasn't the point here. He was saying, okay, Thomas, you've had your question answered. And he's like, but guess what? There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people that are going to follow me that are not going to see me face to face, that are not going to get to poke their finger in my hand and my side. And he says, those are the people that are going to have to really dig in deep and have the kind of faith that they need to make the journey. He was encouraging every believer who would come after Thomas. That's us. The goal isn't to eliminate every question before you move forward. The goal is to keep walking with Jesus while you're asking them. Walk with Jesus, take that next step forward, keep asking the questions. Keep saying, oh God, you know, what are you doing? Okay, I'm gonna keep doing what you're telling me to do. I'm gonna keep moving forward in the way that I believe you're leading me, but I still got questions. I'm still bringing them to you. Faith doesn't require perfect certainty. It requires a trustworthy Savior. Faith wouldn't work if it was just us being sure about something. We got to put our faith in something that's solid. It's not true faith unless that faith is in a true person that can actually do something, that can actually perform and keep their promises. Paul's saying the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:7. He says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. That verse alone should give you everything you need to know about following Jesus. So we just have to get out of our heads that we're going to always have clarity, that we're going to always know the next step that we're supposed to take. Because the reality is, we're trusting God. We're trusting that if we listen to what he says to do, and we do exactly that, that God's going to be faithful, and he's going to take us into the next place that he wants us to go on our journey. I don't have to know for certain what's ahead. I just have to know the one who knows. As long as you know the one who knows what's ahead, you don't need to know what's ahead. When you're driving a windy mountain road, you can't see what's ahead of every curve. But you know what you don't do? You don't pull over to the side of the road, get out of your car, and walk to the curve and take a peek around the curve and check it out. Like, what's ahead? Okay, yeah, I can see. Okay, it's safe. And then you go get back in your car and you drive to the next curve. You don't do that. That's ridiculous. You'd never get anywhere. But some of us, we live our lives like that. We walk on our journey with Jesus like that. We're like, whenever we come to a question, we're like, okay, time to pause everything, get out of the car, go check and see if it's safe. We're really not getting anywhere in our relationship with God because we're allowing our doubts to be roadblocks along the way. And if you insist on seeing the entire road before you take your next turn, guess what? That's some pretty slow progress. Some of us, we may even ask ourselves, you know, how come I'm not growing in my relationship with God? How come I'm not growing in my faith? Maybe this is it. We trust that the road continues even when we can't see it. Jesus doesn't ask us to see the whole road. He asks us to trust him around the next bend. That's all he's asking. And we trust him that he's got it, whatever's around the curve. Don't worry about the windy road ahead. Just trust that God has you for this next curve. Elizabeth Elliot said, faith does not eliminate questions, but faith knows where to take them. Take your questions to Jesus. Take your questions to his word. Go to him for the answers. That's what Thomas did, right? Thomas took his questions to Jesus. Jesus met him there. Some people doubt because they have unanswered questions. Others doubt because they've never really surrendered to Jesus. But notice this, Jesus welcomed Thomas, and Jesus is welcoming you too. He's welcoming you with your doubts. Come to him and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And one day, you'll look back on your journey with God and you'll realize that some of God's greatest work in you happened on the road that you never would have chosen. Because God took you on the scenic route. He took you on the direction where you saw a lot of other stuff. You had a lot of other experiences. You had a lot of questions. But guess what? You still made it. The winding curves, the unexpected detours, the difficult questions, none of those things were wasted. They were all part of the scenic route. And the rest that Christ offers us isn't found in having every answer. It's found in trusting him along the journey. Would you guys pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that you are a God that lights the path right in front of us so that we know, that we can see the next step that we're supposed to take. And God, help us to recognize that you welcome our questions. You're not afraid of our doubts. You're not, you don't come apart when we come apart. You're not threatened by any of those things, Father. And so help us to bring those things to you. Help us to come to you with our doubts and our struggles. Maybe you're here this morning and you struggle. You struggle with this. Well, guess what? Welcome to the family of God. We're all on that journey together. There's nothing unique about those doubts and those struggles that you face. But how are you going to respond? Is it going to be a dead end for you? Is it going to be the end of the road? Or are you going to say, Jesus, just turn on the fog lamps. I just need to see the next few feet. I just need to see what's ahead the next few feet, and I'm going to trust you for what's around the curve. That, my friends, that's a prayer we need to pray on a regular basis in our struggle with him. And I'd love to pray over you, pray that prayer over you right now. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you today. Thank you. Thank you. And there's a lot of hands, a lot of hands. None of us are alone in this journey. So Father, you see the hands that are raised and you know what they're going through. Father, you know the road that each one of us is on. And God, I don't even know each unique struggle and each unique doubt that each one of my family members here are facing. But Father, you do. And you're meeting them right where they're at. And I just pray that you would help them to see that. And that they would trust you. And that they would know that when they trust you through this moment of doubt, it's just going to make their faith stronger. So help them to feel your presence and to know that you're walking with them through that. And then, God, thank you for the freedom to ask questions along the way. As we walk with you, God, thank you for letting us ask the questions. We love you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I hope and pray. Yeah, thank you. I hope and pray that this is something you really, really put into practice this week. You know, every time we talk about things like this, I already know God's going to give you an opportunity this week to put into practice. There's probably a doubt on the road ahead of you this week. Remember the things that we talked about. Does that sound good? Awesome. You guys have a great week. We don't have a closing worship song, but have a great week. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You thought of us before.